Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Put WFAN in your contact list. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
All right, 3:05. 1 hour down, two more to go. I feel like yelling about the Jets for 1 hour isn't enough. They deserve far more than that. And I know it was many hours ago now, but that was one. And we saw a lot of football in between. But that was one of the more puzzling coaching decisions and coaching, situations I've ever seen. There have been some bad ones. I get it. Someone just hit me up, I guess, some Jet fan who's a Giant hater. And said Brian Daboll not having Tommy DeVito ready to throw the football against the Jets was a worse coaching performance. I don't think so. It's bad. I mean, I guess it's bad. Not having your backup, who's Tommy DeVito, be prepared to throw the football and run strictly against the Jets, like in a game that was a slog in the pouring rain. I don't love it. He ended up turning around that quarterback to beat the Green Bay Packers, who went on to win playoff games. But, yeah, okay. There's definitely...
It's not as bad, because this was not trusting the starter who they handpicked as their quarterback in the offseason.
Correct.
Tommy DeVito was supposed to be the third-string quarterback on that team.
Correct. They lost two quarterbacks before having to go to him. There is a difference here.
The guy they lost was there for the Jets today, and Aaron Glenn said, no thanks.
Correct. No, this was a far worse coaching performance. This is a all-timer. It's an all-timer. The way he handled that end of the first half, his decision to not ever take him off the bench and put in Tyrod Taylor, and then to act like it was a dumb thought process to do it is just absolutely baffling. Absolutely baffling. There have been some bad ones. Again, the famous one that jumps out at you is the give-up of Joe Judge. But... where he literally ran back-to-back quarterback sneaks up against his own end zone just to make sure he didn't take a safety. I mean, that's, set up a little bit of room for a punt down late in a game. That's bad. All right, yes. Joe Judge was a hideous head coach. This is on par or worse.
Underrated bad move in this game, too. A couple drives before the final one in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
He had them line up fourth and one to try to get the Broncos to jump, and he burned a timeout before punting.
Yep.
You call that timeout only if you're going.
Of course. You take the 5-yard penalty. I mean, it's just, yeah, no, Aaron Glenn did not do anybody any favors, didn't do anything to make you feel better about this head coach, this situation. That was an awful performance. 888-808-1019. Steve in Long Island. What's up, Steve?
Hey, C-Mac, I've been listening to FAN a real long time. I don't call you that frequently, but I've been calling the station, screaming about the Jets for literally 35 years.
Sure, no.
It is just...
It's what we do. It's the bread and butter.
I've been watching WFAN. I've been watching this team since 1967, and every year I say, this can't get any worse. It just can't get any worse, and it gets worse. And you go back, you're not going to be interested in Jets history, But I've seen this movie over and over and over again. What's going to happen now? The Jets are going to have a couple of, they'll have victories. They'll win 3-4 games between now and the end of the season. Teams will underestimate them. Teams won't take them seriously. And they won't have the top pick in the draft. You know, they'll have the number 3, the number 4 pick, as they usually do. And they'll blow it again with whoever they select. And this just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And different coaches, different players. But you know what? There's one consistent theme here. It's the owner. And you could tell me that he's in England. You can tell me he's off vacationing in Hawaii. I'm telling you that it's the only common theme. And the problem is at the top of this organization. And until there's a new owner in this organization, this is going to continue on and on and on. I don't know what's going on with him, but he's the only common theme. It's got to be him.
No, I mean, listen, I understand. Woody Johnson is a problem for the organization. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, every the stories that come out, now they're dealing with a lawsuit and a countersuit. Like, it's just, it's a mess. There's no doubt about it. It is a mess. And firing Robert Saleh last year midseason was, that's really where it's from that moment to this moment. It has really gotten even worse than I thought it could for a New York Jets franchise, as you said, that has been this bad for this long. Like, from that moment on, they weren't, you know, great. Don't get me wrong. And ironically, it was against this same Broncos team that they lost a game they should have won. Kicker was terrible. And they weren't playing as well as some of us thought they could play. But it fell apart after he inserted himself and fired the head coach. Firing Robert Saleh was a hideous decision. And from that moment on, this team has felt like that, like, it's just, it's felt like there's no, like, the players have given up. This coach is, like, has not, it's the same thing. It looks exactly the same. This was particularly bad. But, I mean, it looks exactly the same. The offense is inept, right? The defense, up until today, you know, might make some plays, but in the crucial moments, they're going to kill you. They have critical mistakes, penalties after penalties. They turn the ball over. They don't get turnovers. Like, this is literally the same team now for multiple years, only they were finding ways to win a couple of games under Robert Saleh. And you mentioned, like, moving forward, are they going to win some games? Again, I don't want to make this about tanking because I don't want to do this all day. It's still early for that, but there's no doubt in my mind what's best for the franchise, because they're not going to go to the playoffs. And whenever you're dead and you don't have a quarterback, that's what I believe. But we could do that another day. But you're coming, you know, you're home again against the Panthers next week. They just beat the Cowboys. They're playing better, certainly offensively. Could the Jets win that game against the Panthers at home? I suppose, but I think the Panthers are a better football team. Then they go to Cincinnati, who right now with Joe Flacco is, you know, offensively inept. Defensively might be worse. The defense should have a fun time with that offensive line. I mean, they might have a chance to win that game against the Bengals. Then you take on the Browns and the rookie quarterback, who the Steelers just pounded. So, I mean, the next 3 weeks are winnable football games. There is no doubt about it. At home against the Panthers, on the road against the Bengals, at home against the Browns. Those are winnable football games. The Browns' defense is tremendous. They're better at home than on the road, so you will at least have that advantage, but that defense is going to eat up. I mean, if Mr. Hold the Ball for 7 seconds every play, Justin Fields is going to be back there. The Browns are going to eat.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk.
we have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Him up. That is one of the better defenses in the NFL. Those three games are winnable, not easy, but winnable, and then it starts to get hard. You're at the Patriots, who right now are proving to be, you know, right now 4-2. If the Bills somehow stub their toe tonight now against the Falcons, you're looking at a first-place Patriots team. They're off back-to-back wins, played well in New Orleans. May looks like a legit NFL quarterback. Then you go on the road to the Ravens. I'm not sure. I'm assuming that Lamar Jackson will be back by then. I'm pretty sure he will be. You're still talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks from now. So that's probably, actually no, 6 weeks from now, because you got the Jets bye in the middle. So like, I'm assuming he'll be back for that game at Baltimore with Lamar Jackson as the quarterback. That becomes a tougher game. Home against the Falcons. You've already lost to the Dolphins. The Jaguars are playing better football. The Saints on the road is a tough place to play. And then you get the Patriots and Bills to end the season. Like, I don't know where the wins are coming, not the way they're playing. The next three games are winnable. Let's see what happens. But I'll tell you the truth. You know how I feel. What's the point of winning these games? Set yourself up for the best opportunity to get a franchise quarterback, because that's what they're going to be doing come the draft. Tony in Liberty. What's up, Tony?
How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
All right. I have an angle of looking at the coach that nobody else would call up and say it. I feel embarrassed to say it, but I feel that the sign of the coach is a zodiac sign. He's a Cancer. And Cancers are majorly indecisive people. They're horrible at being in charge. And that's the reason why the Jets suck.
Tony, have we spoken before, Tony?
I don't know. Maybe once, I think.
Maybe once. You called me in, and you're a big Zodiac guy. We've had this conversation before, right?
I'm telling you.
You're with we had the Alonzo and the retrograde. Is that you, Tony?
No, that's not me. No,
that wasn't you about Pete Alonzo. We had a conversation about Pete Alonzo and his mentality. Could have sworn that was you, Tony. I don't know. I don't know. That's why Aaron Glenn's indecisive. Maybe. What the hell it says? It's as logical an explanation as I can come up with, because I can't explain why the hell he did what he did. So maybe it's because of his zodiac sign. Maybe, and I never know. I don't know what's Aaron Glenn's birthday. He's a Cancer. I have no idea. Let's look it up real quick. I don't know what time. I know I'm a Sagittarius. That's all I know. That's all I know. I'm a Sagittarius. I don't really care. But I don't. What's the? He's born in July. Yeah, I guess I don't know. Is that Cancer? I have no idea. Look, it's as good a reason as anything I can think of, because I can't explain how he would have zero faith in the quarterback and yet stick with him. And again, I remember Mike talking about this forever. I remember Francesa, and I worked with Mike for a long time. Listened to, you know, every show I listened to every show he did for 7 years, probably more than that because I was a fan, but I listened to every word he said for 7 years. And Mike always would talk about the idea of going to the backup quarterback if you need a spark, and you can always go back to the starter the next week. If you want to continue to start Justin Fields, that's fine. Understand, like, what's going on. Understand the market. Understand, like, it's about winning the football game and about giving your team the best chance to win. And you've seen him play well, right? If that's your, like, he played well against Pittsburgh in week 1. I can't think of any other time he played well. But, okay, You still believe in him. You want to see what this quarterback can do. You know, it's a rough game against a good defense. Fine. Fine. But in the moment, he's not giving you any chance to win. And you specifically said, if you aren't helping us win football games, there's no place for you. That's what you said. You cut the kick returner Gibson because he fumbled in game one. You cut him. You backed up those words. You held people accountable. This quarterback was not giving you a chance to win the football game, and you told us so at the end of the half. And yet, you stuck with him, watching him drag the team down the entire second half as well. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Go to Tyrod Taylor, try and win this football game, and then say in the postgame, no, but listen, Fields is our starter. He was having a rough day. Matchup wasn't great. We felt we had the better opportunity to make plays down the field with Tyrod Taylor, but we're going back to our quarterback, Justin Fields, next Sunday. Fine. Fine. Some people might have argued with it. And now, I don't even care. Like, I see so many people, countless people tweeting out, you have to go to Tyrod Taylor next week. You have to go to Tyrod Taylor next week. I don't agree. I really don't. You don't have to start Tyrod Taylor next week. You don't. You can start Justin Fields, but if he's awful, then you go to the backup quarterback. Then you go to Tyrod Taylor. You could start Tyrod next week, and I won't complain. Don't get me wrong. If you want to move on from Justin Fields, I never thought he should have been the quarterback. I never would have picked him. He was on the crap wheel of quarterbacks that we spun as we were waiting to see who they were going to place Aaron Rodgers with. Like, I'm not a Justin Fields guy. Never was. Didn't want him on the team. Don't want him on the team. Go to Tyrod Taylor. I'd be thrilled with it. But I don't think they have to. If they believe in Justin Fields, but scheme the game for him. Have him have more carries than 7. Do things that make it easy on him. Use Breece Hall in the passing game. Run more for him. Run more RPOs. Do different things for him. And if it's failing at halftime and you can't get anything out of him, then you go to Tyrod Taylor. And then do it again the week after that. I don't care. That's how backups work. It's not, oh, once you go to him, you lose him. If that's the kind of mentality he has, then you're better off losing him. If he's going to be so downtrodden and so broken up at the idea that you went to the backup quarterback, then you know what? He's not tough enough to be the quarterback. There was no reason not to go to Tyrod Taylor. I don't understand why the coach didn't do it. And then the post game and making it seem like he was stupid for doing it is crazy. The Bear in the Bronx. What's up, buddy? How are you?
All right. Are you a Jet fan?
I am not. I'm a New York Giant fan.
Okay. Well, anyway, that has nothing to do with it.
Then why'd you ask, Bear?
Problem. No, I just wanted to know. Sure. The last guy I spoke to was a Falcons fan, and he was very happy that...
I am not happy. I can promise you this. I am not happy. I want the Jets to win. I want the Jets to be relevant. I have no ill will. I root for the Jets. Even people don't believe me about the Mets because I'm a Yankee fan. That's fine. It is a different dynamic. I am telling you right now, my second team is the New York Jets. I have no problem with it. I don't care. They share the city. There was only one time there was any contention. It was when Rex Ryan was running his mouth. Other than that, they play each other once every 4 years. The idea of the two of them meeting in the Super Bowl is so hilarious that I can't even like get the words out of my mouth without laughing. So like I am 100% on board. I want the Jets to be relevant, baby. I promise you deep down in my soul, that's all I want from the New York Jets is to play relevant football and lose to the Giants every 4 years. Like, that's it.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think Fields is the answer. Mm-hmm. And the way they're going, yeah, they're going to go and they're going to be the worst team in the league. And they'll have a first round draft pick and they'll start building from there. I want to give this guy a chance. I understand what you said about the last coach. Mm-hmm. And he was good, but the Rodgers thing imploded everything for them.
Yeah,
everything.
I mean, I wish he was still on the team. I wish Aaron Rodgers was still the quarterback of the team. I don't know what they would be right now. I'm not saying they'd be, you know, in the playoff picture or what. They'd be better. They would not be 0-6. They could have won this game against Denver. You see the throw he made? Now, he hasn't played brilliantly in Pittsburgh. But did you see the throw? He can still throw the football. He made a throw on the run across his body in the middle of the end zone. That's just, it's, you can't throw it better. Still at his age, you can't throw it any better. You can't have better placement on that throw. He is still capable of throwing the football. And this offensive line is not the problem. Last week, they didn't play great. I thought they had a bad week against the Cowboys. But other than that, they've been pretty damn good. And the 9 sacks were not on this offensive line. They just weren't. They just weren't. A lot, I mean, most of them are on Fields holding the ball too long. He's holding the ball 6 seconds. You can't do it in the NFL. You can't do it. Cannot do it. He's getting himself killed. Like he's the offensive line. Aaron Rodgers and this offensive line and this offense, they put up more than minus 10 yards. And the idea they dismissed him under the guise of, you know, he's got to be the alpha male and Aaron Rodgers, he's worried about him talking up at the front of the room and Aaron Rodgers holding court in the back of the room, was just always an asinine thought to me. If you're a culture builder, you don't shun talented people who are questionable culture people, you welcome them and you build the culture and get the, that's the whole point of being a culture building coach. You can bring anybody. That's right with the Patriots, right? He built a culture of winning, Bill Belichick. That's why every time there was a disgruntled player, what did everybody say? Oh, he'll go to the Patriots, fall in line, and they'll be great with him. That's what we said every time. Someone left and disgruntled Randy Moss or anybody. It was like, oh, he'll go to the Patriots, find his way, and he'll help them win. Like, because he had a winning culture. When you have a culture building coach, you bring in all the best talent you can because you expect him to mold the culture. Like, it never made any sense to me. He should still be the quarterback of this team. But to your point about firing Glenn, I got to be honest, I'm having mixed emotions about it. I haven't figured out exactly how I feel about it. I mean, if they don't win a game, if they win one game, I don't know how you keep them. I don't like firing coaches off of 1 year. I don't. I think that in that kind of instability. But if you know he's not the guy, then why do you hang on to him? I don't know. And then here's the biggest thing, and you mentioned it. Here's the biggest thing about keeping Glenn. With how he's handled this quarterback, with his decision-making about who to go to and who to play and how the offensive schemed, and like, do you want this group, this group, who within 20 seconds of meeting with Aaron Rodgers told him to hit the bricks, decided to bring in Justin Fields, have allowed it to get to this point, have lost every game so far this year, have made every big mistake to cost him the game, have made just as many, you know, pre-snap penalties and turnovers and all the crap that's been haunting this team for the last couple of years under Robert Saleh. Nothing has changed. They're worse. Do you want this group to be the group that decides the biggest decision in the franchise's, you know, moving history? Like that, who they drafted quarterback in next year's draft come April, that is the biggest decision they will make for the next 3 to 4 years. Without question. If they had the young quarterback already, if that question was already answered, if that wasn't going to be the decision come April, I'd be more inclined to say, hey, it's a miserable first year, but there's a reason we hired him, and, you know, I'm willing to stick with him another year because I don't like firing coaches off of 1 year. I'd be more inclined. That decision hanging in the balance is really why I'm going to have a tough time, because not only do I want to make sure they make the right pick, I've also got to give him the right coach to develop him. I also got to give him a place where, you know, I feel like I have a fertile kind of, you know, process and organization to help grow the young quarterback. Is a defensive-minded head coach who doesn't know when to call timeouts, doesn't know how to handle in-game situations, doesn't understand he's got to bench that quarterback. Like, is this coach, a defensive-minded head coach, the guy I want to give to a young quarterback? coming off of this season? Because what happens if they lose next year with a rookie quarterback, which we all know is very likely? You're going to end up being one and done with them with a young quarterback. Like, it's just, the timing is miserable. The timing really sucks for Glenn to have this kind of season. That's, like, for me, that's the main reason. The main reason right now I am leaning towards one and done with Aaron Glenn isn't just how inept the team and he has been through the first six games of the season. It's that next year, in April, I'm picking my future, and then next season, I'm cultivating it. It's the biggest moment for the franchise moving forward over the next 3, 4, 5 years. Do I allow him to helm the ship during that process? That's the question Woody Johnson, I suppose, has to ask himself. I mean, that's the question. That's the question. Come April, we are making an enormous decision, and next season, we are cultivating it. Is Glenn the guy to do that?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Continuing to take your jet calls. I did just want to say, because this one affected my mother and my wife, rest in peace to the great Diane Keaton. You know, we talk about this stuff. I like movies. We talked about Robert Redford a lot. I like movies. I like music, too. I don't know if you know that about me. I drink when I'm thirsty. But yeah, right. I would make a food joke, but I don't feel like making it, to be honest with you right now. Put that Zoom camera angle on me. I got to talk to someone, because they put out a GIF of me singing, and it was a normal camera angle. Like, it was from far away. I look like a normal person instead of this enormous face taking up half the screen. I have a round face. Please zoom out a little bit. I got to talk to somebody. It doesn't matter. I don't care. But yeah, Diane Keaton, obviously, Annie Hall, but I know her best from The Godfather. But classic actress. My mother was very sad to hear the news. My wife was sad to hear the news. I just keep thinking of her in that, you know, the scene with Michael when she tells him she had an abortion. That was like, that's the scene that it just pops into my head all the time. But she was great. She was great. I liked her a lot. So very sad to hear the passing of Diane Keaton. I'm thinking about, we've been so busy with Yankee playoffs and stuff. On Saturday, I've been meaning to do a movie segment called Saturday Matinee. I've been trying to do it, but I've just felt like we've been so busy with Jackson Dart this week and obviously the Yankee playoffs and everything. I got to get it in. I just looked, though. I thought I would do a movie with the two of them in it. Robert Redford and Diane Keaton, never in a movie, never in a film together. I was like, that would be the perfect one to do. I'll do Diane Keaton and Robert Redford, but unfortunately, not in a movie together. But 79, kind of sudden. Didn't hear anything about any sort of illness. But rest in peace. Tremendous actress. My mother really enjoyed her. Very sad. 888-808-1019. But back to the calls. I just wanted to mention that. It popped into my head. Dominic in North Carolina. What's up, Dom?
Comrade.
What's up, buddy?
So...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, for I know did you hear the call on Saturday, or did you make it, Dom?
I made the call.
Oh, yeah, there you are. Yeah, that's right.
Everybody else calls you the Yankee shill. I will call you Comrade Tanker.
Yes, Comrade Tanker. Listen, it's time, buddy.
But no, I have a question about Aaron Glenn. You know, I grew up a Jet fan.
Yeah,
and I moved down here to North Carolina at the end of the Namath era. And then, you know, sat through all those sad years, moved down here to North Carolina, became a Panther fan in time for the futility that we've seen, which may hopefully be changing. We'll see next week. But I have a question about Glenn.
Yes.
And I don't know what his horoscope sign is, but he does strike me as a guy who's got to prove he's the alpha. And, you know, you mentioned you met Rodgers and 20 seconds later was telling him to hit the bricks.
Yeah.
And if he does face something of a locker room rebellion against Fields, I know Wilson chased after him and so forth.
Yeah.
Is he the sort who's going to stick with Fields just to show you that I'm in charge and you're not in charge? And in other words, we had a similar situation here where when Bryce was playing, you know, like middle school quarterback, and Canales had a locker room rebellion, he relented and he faked an injury. But I don't see that in Glenn. I think he's the kind of guy who's going to say, I'm in charge. Shut up, sit down. It's my way or the highway.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Again, his zodiac sign, stubbornness, those are all as good as a reason why he stuck with Justin Fields as any others. Is there something where he wants to be the alpha male? I think that, obviously. I think that's why he got rid of Aaron Rodgers. And furthermore, I have no problem. Like, the coach should be the alpha male. Like, I have no problem with that necessarily. Like, I have no problem with a guy coming in looking for regime change and making sure that, you know, everybody toes the line and he's the boss. Like, I get that. I still think you could have done that with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Aaron Rodgers made that impossible. I always felt that was dumb. But, I mean, yeah, on some level, he has to be the alpha male, right? He's leading the team. But again, you also have to look at your players in the face, and because these are not college kids, man. These are, you know, these are businessmen. These are, you know, freelance businessmen. This is their job. This is their profession. And they're looking to win. And your actions told them you didn't believe in the quarterback and you didn't change anything. And they're watching the game too. And again, it doesn't mean that you have to give up on Justin Fields. It doesn't mean you can't go to him next week. It doesn't mean the team won't accept him ever again. But in that moment, while they were playing, anybody else, any other position, you pull off the field. You've talked about it. You've said it. You've set that standard. You drop kickoffs, you fumble the ball, I'm going to cut you. You don't make plays, you're not helping us win football games, there's no place for you here. Those are your words. The quarterback was making it impossible to win the football game, and you didn't change course. So maybe it's stubbornness. Maybe it is. Maybe it's stubbornness. Maybe it's the fact that, hey, I know I can make this work. We're going to figure it out. We're right there. The game's close. Our defense will win us the game. I don't know. But it made absolutely zero sense. It made no sense. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
So that's great. That was really good because, you know, I want to talk about something a little bit more substantive than, after all, it is October, than a horror hope or whatever. How about this? Let's look at Garrett Wilson specifically, right?
Okay.
Since high school, in between high school and his last game in college, how many games do you think that the teams he were on he was on Lost.
Yeah, I mean, these guys probably don't lose all that much.
These guys, the high draft picks in the NFL, the first round picks, the last thing that they are used to is losing, right? So,
unfortunately, he's been a Jet for a while, though, so he's not that unfamiliar with it.
It's got to be, yeah, but at this point, you know, he's just one of the, he is, I guess, their most prominent player. It's got to be grating. I can't imagine, all right, like that mindset, especially after, and you said something that I want to talk about. So this is, let's look at what happened. The Jets lost a game 13-11 where they had negative 10 yards passing.
Yes.
I will tell you this. If he would have put Tyrod Taylor into the game, they would have won that game. I have no doubt.
Yeah, I mean,
no
doubt. They would have had a better chance to win the game. I can't speak in certainties, but they would have had a better chance to win the game.
All right. Okay, let's not speak in certainties. It's highly likely that they would have wound up with more than negative 10 yards passing, Chris.
Well, yes, that I agree with,
And certainly.
And they came up, and they came up 10 yards short of winning the football game. They came up 10 yards short of kicking a field goal.
I mean, it was just, and it was, you know what? That was a maddening, the whole thing was like some kind of twisted thing. And I can't believe, like, guys like Garrett Wilson aren't sitting there going, what is this guy doing?
That, and, you know, I mean, that's and you're right. Listen, you could tell that's exactly what Garrett Wilson was thinking at the end of the first half. That's exactly what he's thinking. What are we doing? Why are we? I mean, as the clock is ticking away, it was one of the more stunning. And watching it on TV and watching Kurt Warner, who tweeted out, ironically, I cover the game that doesn't have any forward passing. I mean, like, watching that sequence, listening to Kurt Warner lose his mind. Like, Kurt Warner was losing his mind. He stopped speaking. At one point, Rich Eisen had to say, like, Kurt Warner is losing it, everybody. Like, I'm sure in the booth, he was losing it. He couldn't believe the play calling, the running of the football during that, not attempting to throw it down. And then not attempting to throw it down the field at all and try and get first downs. The lack of urgency trying to get points at the end of the first half. And then, like, to have that final 20 seconds just click off and do nothing. Like, so much of it just doesn't make any sense. You're running the football. You're running the football on fourth and one. Instead of just running the football, or I mean, I know you don't want to give it back to Denver, but you run a fake punt. You run a fake punt. All right, you run a fake punt. Great. And it worked, right? Even Kurt Warner was like, I don't understand the call, but hey, it worked. Yeah, now let's go be aggressive. Like, and you ran the fake punt just to run the clock out. Those two don't run the. I just didn't understand it. I didn't understand it at all. If you're going to pull a fake punt and have the momentum of a fake punt, because that's what plays like that are. You run fake punts, trick plays, like back when onside kicks were able to be pulled out of the, you know, you were able to fool on onside kicks and surprise onside kicks. Like, but you run those plays to change momentum of the game. That's why fake punts are there, right? Special, like those kind of plays, you do them, you pull them out of your hat when you're looking to change momentum. You don't pull them out of your hat just so you can, you know, be in a better position to run the clock out. Like, that's supposed to be a momentum changer. You just pulled off a fake kick. Like, you fooled them. You got the yard you needed, and just barely. Now go out there and be aggressive and try and do something with it. And instead, he was more than happy than just to run the clock out. And having said all of that, they were 10 yards away from kicking a game-winning field goal. So, yeah, look, do I think they win the football game if Tyrod Taylor comes in? Yes, I do. Can I tell you for sure they do? I don't know. Maybe he throws a pick thrown down the field. I don't know. But I can tell you they had a better chance because Justin Fields gave them no chance. He gave them no chance to do anything offensively. None. Again, they scored 11 points in the game. They got a safety, and two of the field goals were set up. They started the drives in field goal range. The fumble leads to them being in field goal range. I think they lost a yard on the drive or only gained 1 yard and kick a field goal. And then a 70-yard kick return sets them up in field goal range. They had one drive where they started outside of field goal range and got into field goal range for a kick. That's it. The offense scored 3 points in this game. Defense scored them five. Special teams scored them three. And they scored three. That's it. And at the end of the game, at the end of that half, it was embarrassing. It was just one of those things where between the broadcaster's call of it, the Kurt Warner losing his mind, watching the quarterback just stand there while the clock is ticking, watching him just talking to the offensive coordinator on the sidelines. I don't even think he had his headset on at that point. He was just like, oh, you, the camera goes to him on the sideline, and Glenn's sitting there. I don't even know if he has his headset on. He's like, okay, he's not. It's over. They've chosen to not attempt to score. And then you see Gary Wilson screaming on the sidelines, and you're thinking, okay. In my mind, I said to myself, all right, well, at least that's it. They're going to come back with Tyrod Taylor. They just told us he can't throw the ball. I tweeted out at the time. I'm like, I don't know if I've ever seen a coach show less confidence in his offense than I just saw right there. So, he has no confidence in the quarterback. He's going to make the change. And then he doesn't. And then it doesn't get any better, and he still doesn't. Like they were talking about in the post game, it didn't even have to be at the half. If you give it to him in the fourth quarter, at least it gives you an opportunity to throw the football. You see how the Broncos are playing it. The Broncos are playing it where they're playing a similar game. They don't want Bo Nix to make a mistake here. Jets defense is playing well. They're getting after it. They're playing the game knowing the Jets offense is inept. Change it up. It made no sense. It made no sense. It was one of the worst coaching performances I've ever seen. Bob in Bayside. What's up, Bob?
Chris, I watched every snap of the Carolina-Dallas game.
Okay.
And let me say one thing. If Fields is ever going to have a lot of time to pass, it's going to be next week. Because Carolina has zero pass rush.
Yeah.
They never blitz. And the four guys that rush never get to the quarterback. Now, I mean, Dallas always had good offensive lines. But this year, supposedly, it wasn't as good. And Carolina never got in. They have zero pass rush. So if Fields is ever going to have time to pass, it's going to be next week.
I mean, he had 5 seconds in this game.
I know.
And that wasn't enough. I don't know how much time he needs.
By the way, that call who said at the end of the game, all they had to do was run 2-3 times, and it would have been a 55-yard field goal. And these days, with these kickers, 55 is an automatic right now. Have you seen these kickers, the way they kick these days?
I know. And Glenn said he had to get to the 35. He said he wasn't kicking a field goal any longer than 52. That doesn't make any sense. It didn't come into fruition. It doesn't come into play. I don't believe him. I don't believe him at all. No, I'm with you 100%. Kickers, every game has a 58 to 62-yard field goal kicked. Every game.
I mean, I see guys making the 55 now is what 45 used to be.
In the Green Bay game, right, I think he had the Cincinnati kicker. Is it still McPherson? I think it is. He kicked a 62 that he made, then it was a penalty, and he missed the 67.
The Giants lost to Dallas on the 64.
I thought it was a penalty, so he made the 67 on the first. I thought it was 62, a penalty, and then 67 that he missed.
He kicked it as Green Bay called timeout.
Okay, it's Green Bay called timeout. So he makes a 67-yard field goal. You have to attempt. I would have attempted the 62-yarder. I don't know if he makes it or not, but absolutely, if it's inside of 60, I'm kicking it. The idea that they had to get it to a 52-yard field goal is preposterous.
But he took a sack. He should have ran it 2-3 times. And that's what that call said.
The pass on first down is just, I cannot understand throwing the ball on first down.
Chris, one last thing on Glenn. The reason he's, t- I don't blame him for doing this. He started talking tough and super confident. He thought that that would instill that into the players. So I don't blame his motivation. But you got to have the players. That's what it boils down to in pro football.
No, of course you got to have the players. I get it. But, like, again, he had a player on his bench. He had a player on his bench who's one of the best backups in the NFL. Like, when you consider the veteran nature, his ability, what he's seen in the NFL, his ability to help a younger quarterback, his ability to throw the football and still run, the idea he understands his role, and this is what he is now. Like, you take everything into consideration, it's arguably the best backup quarterback in the NFL for his level of play, his level of commitment to his role, his ability of being a veteran, been around multiple organizations, multiple offenses. He started in the league. He's thrown touchdown passes. He's won games. He's led a franchise. Like, this is as good a backup quarterback as you can have. And he doesn't go to him in the most obvious of spots. It is a confounding decision. I don't understand it at all. And especially with how he handled the end of the first half, he told us he doesn't trust the player. Like, he told his team, I don't trust our quarterback. How do you run them back out there and expect them to go compete with a quarterback and an offense you just told them you don't trust to make a play? You would rather embarrass yourself. You would rather embarrass yourself and allow the time to just click off and go to the halftime down 10-6. You would rather do that than attempt to make plays and try and get into field goal range yourself because you're afraid that he is going to turn the ball over. You can't then look at your team and say, we're sticking with him. Not in that moment, not forever. You can go back to him. And again, I'll be right here right now. Everyone, I'm seeing a million people. You got to go to Tyrod Taylor next week. You got to go to Tyrod Taylor next week. I think you can. I think you absolutely can. I wouldn't argue. If Glenn goes to him, they make the decision that I don't know how he could do that now, considering how he handled the post game. He'd look like an absolute imbecile. But you can go to Tyrod Taylor. I have no problem with that. But I also have no problem sticking with Justin Fields. They brought him in. They handpicked him. But run a better offense for him. And if it goes the same way it went this game, then bench him. But, like, he's the starting quarterback. Tyrod Taylor is the backup. I have no problem going right back to Justin Fields this week and see if he can play like he did in week one. It clearly wasn't happening in London in that game against that Denver Bronco defense. It wasn't happening. You had to make the change. You could always go back to him. And I would have no problem going back to him against Carolina. I mean, I would have no problem going back to him against Carolina at all. And again, we were talking the field goal. Jerry just texted me. We talked about it, Jerry. Yeah, he made a 58-yard field goal earlier this year. A 58. And again, the scenario didn't present itself. It was a 62-yard field goal. I still would have kicked it because I have zero confidence that they're getting 4th-and-7. Like, that's a 0% chance play. And obviously, he gets sacked. And the play before was hideous. The play before might anger me more than anything else, that third down play. He's got Wilson open. As I said, I thought Willie Colon in the post game put it perfectly. Justin Fields has to see it before he throws it. He has to see it to throw it. Wilson is going to be open. You have to know you're going to that guy in that moment. You have to know the route. You have to be willing to throw it before the break. It has to be on time. Instead, it's late, it's behind him, you give him no chance to make that play, you make it too easy for the defender to come in and knock out the ball. 4th-and-7 is a 0% chance play. Do I love a 62-yard field goal? No, I don't. But I still would have done it, but I get going for it, I suppose, even though I don't think he has a chance or a prayer of making it. But so it never comes into play necessarily. But among the other ridiculous things he said in the postgame, after telling Costello that he should know better than to ask a ridiculous question like who's the quarterback for an 0-6 team who just threw negative 10 passing yards. After he told a reporter that that was a stupid question
and that he should know better than to ask such a stupid question. He also then stood there and told us that they had to get to the 35-yard line to kick a field goal. That makes no sense. Are you telling me you're only kicking a 52-yarder and in? That's ridiculous. Again, to Jerry's point, we said it earlier. Lori was talking about it as I was driving in. He made a 58-yarder this year. I don't care that it's, you know, on the other side of the Atlantic. I don't care, you know, that it's not a familiar field. I don't care. Or what? Like, there's no way you're only kicking a field goal that's 52 yards or in. There's no way. Now, again, it doesn't come to fruition, so it doesn't matter. But my God, just more asinine things said in the postgame that I just flat out don't believe. He's not being, that's, like, he's mistaken. I don't know if he's doing the math wrong in his head. There's no way he's passing up a 55-yard field goal. There is no freaking way. There's no way they get to the 40. And he's not kicking a 57-yard. He is. If they get to the 40, he's kicking a 57-yard field goal. He is. How can he tell you he's not? I mean, it's just, he managed the game like an idiot, and there were idiotic comments made in the postgame. I mean, that the only consistency he showed was that. The consistency of confusing me in-game and confusing me post-game. That's the only consistency Aaron Glenn showed in the whole day. Because outside of that, like, I don't know what he's doing. He's playing the run the clock out. He pulls out a fake punt. He gets it, and he continues to play to just eat the clock. He tells you the quarterback sucks and we can't trust him to throw the football, and then he sticks with him. I don't understand it. He opens the press conference saying the passing game was hideous, they're 0-6, and then he tells reporters they're idiots for asking questions about who's the quarterback next week. Like, what are we doing? And then he tells you he'd only kick a 52-yard field goal with a kicker who made a 58. With his game, he has no faith in the offense to do anything. He has no faith in the quarterback to make a play, but he would pass up a 55-yard field goal to win the game? It just, none of it makes any sense. None of what he said, none of what he did. If Jerry's listening, so he'll tell you. I am, because I've heard him mention that this is my thought, but I blame the players more than I am. It's not just Aaron Boone. It's most coaching. I was behind bringing back Brian Daboll. I thought firing Robert Saleh was bad. Like, I put more of the onus on the players than most people do. To blame the coach is further down my list than it is for a lot of people. You have to do something ridiculously stupid for me to blame you. Like, I will always put the onus on the players. I could disagree with a move here or a decision there, but the onus is on the million-dollar players who go out there and perform. And Justin Fields was terrible in the game, not telling you different. Justin Fields was holding on to the ball forever. He's responsible for at least 6 or 7 of the 9 sacks. He can't throw the ball. He can't make decisions. He's late and inaccurate. He was awful in this game. That was the worst piece of coaching I've ever seen. If I'm ever going to blame a coach why they lost the game, that is it. I cannot believe how Aaron Glenn coached that game. I cannot believe it. And then I can't believe what he said in the postgame. I am always on the players. I'm always on the players. Any other coach in the NFL wins that game or gives the team a better chance to. That was as hideous a coached game as I've ever seen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.